Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Jayo Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Damadava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jayo Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Munatira Vanachari Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavalava Girivare Dare. Jaya Gopi Janavalava Girivare Dare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamunati Vanachari Yamuna tira vanacha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaura Nithai Ki Jai Jagannath Bhadev Subhadra Ki Jai Granthraj Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nithai Gaura Premanande Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, Subhadra Prabhu asked me to speak because Maharaj came very late yesterday. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 37 and 38. Which one is it? 38, okay. Nana kaprishtam nacha sarva bhumam naparamishtyam narasa dipatyam Na yoga siddhir apunar bhavam bha vanchati yat padaraja prapanam. Translation. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma, or rulership over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfection of yoga or in liberation itself. There is a lot of echo in the voice. Do you know how to fix that? Is it okay? You can understand? Because sometimes there is so much echo, it's difficult to understand. For me, I'm okay. I understand. Text 38. Tadesha natapa durapam aniyais. Tadesha natapa durapam aniyais. Tamo janik krodavaso pyadisha. Tamo janik krodavaso pyadisha. Samsara chakri brahmata sharirino. Samsara chakri brahmata sharirino. Yaritya tasyad vibhava samaksha. Yaritya tasyad vibhava samaksha. Somebody wants to repeat? Translation and purport. Actually, this is by a disciple of His Divine Grace. But with the blessing of Prabhupada. So, O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls, who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death, can have all benedictions manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. Purport. It is very rare for a conditioned soul to free himself from the contamination of illusion and thus become established in perfect consciousness of the Absolute Truth. And yet, this benediction was achieved by the serpent Kaliya because the Lord personally danced upon the serpent's hood with his lotus feet. Although we, conditioned soul, may not receive the mercy of having the Lord dance on our head, we can receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Absolute through the Lord's representative, the bona fide spiritual master, and thus go back home, back to Godhead, forever freed from the misery and ignorance of the mountain universe. Very beautiful. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganam Janam Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guradvishe Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakarindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Mukam karuti vachalam pangum rangayati girim yati pam tamaham vali shiguru din taranam. O Lord, although this Kaliya, the king of the serpents, has taken birth in the mode of ignorance and is controlled by anger, he has achieved that which is difficult for others to achieve. Embodied souls who are full of desires and are thus wandering in the cycle of birth and death can have all benediction manifested before their eyes simply by receiving the dust of your lotus feet. But this is the glorification of the power of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, wife of Kaliya. They're starting their some prayers because just the spontaneity of their love manifests because they are in contact with Krishna, and they started to speak, so they just continue, and now they will just let their heart express itself. Now they want to glorify the power of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And they say that actually even the conditioned soul who are wandering in the cycle of birth and death, they can have all benediction manifested before their eyes. That means any benediction they may dream, they can have that benediction manifested before their eyes. That means real. Real and direct. Just simply by receiving the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. So the dust of Krishna's lotus feet is very powerful. It can fulfill all desires that anybody can have. This is actually a very special substance, the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. It is made of many things mixed together. That is first the dust of Braj, which is there under Krishna's lotus feet. And there is also the nectar coming from his own lotus feet, from his own form. And there is so many things are there in the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Very mysterious and transcendental substance. No. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes that the Pulinda girls from Vrindavan, like aborigines, who are not belonging to the coward Vaishya dynasty, like the gopis, but the aborigine girls, they would collect the dust of Krishna's lotus feet from the footprints they would find in the forest, which were reddish, and they would smear that dust on their body. Very fortunate girls. And most certainly they have received all the benediction they desired by doing so. So this is a very beautiful description of ourself also, how they describe Kaliya fit exactly to us. Although this Kaliya has taken birth in the mode of ignorance, like we have also taken birth in the mode of ignorance, as we say, Agyanati Mirandasya, in the deepest darkness of ignorance, this is how we have taken birth. This means that we didn't know nothing about Krishna. That's the darkest ignorance. When you don't know anything about Krishna in your life, this is called the very dark ignorance. No? When I was a little boy, I didn't know anything about Krishna. Maybe some of you from your childhood, by good fortune, you knew, but I didn't know nothing. And then, who is controlled by anger? Even though, and also they said, wandering in the cycle of birth and death. Even somebody who is in such a bad position, bad situation, can receive all benediction. That means from the bottom depth. I want to say from the lowest position. Yeah. From the lowest position, they can be elevated to the highest position just by coming in contact with the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, like this has just happened with Kaliya, who was born in ignorance, controlled by anger, conditioned soul, full of desires, wandering in the cycle of birth and death. Very dark situation, full of desires, that means this person is like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is singing, Ashesha Kamana Ridhima Jemora. There is unlimited material desires in my heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. Unlimited, I cannot see the end. Always new material desire appearing again and again. Whatever I get, some new material desire will come again and again, like the waves of the ocean. I said, this is what there is in my heart. Ashesha means unlimited material desire. Ashesha kamana. Ridhi majimora in my heart. Ashesha kamana. Ridhi majimora. So, but by coming in contact with the lotus dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, we can be freed from all these material desires. We can be freed from this ignorance. We can be freed from this anger. And we can be freed from the cycle of birth and death just by having this contact. This is why we glorify, and the scriptures glorify, and the great sages, they glorify the dust of Krishna's lotus feet. Like some very precious substance. just because the Lord personally danced upon the serpent's hood with his lotus feet. Kaliya was freed from the contamination of illusion and became established in perfect consciousness of the Absolute Truth. Perfect consciousness of the Absolute Truth means you are with the Absolute Truth face to face. That's perfect consciousness of the Absolute Truth. And Anukulyena with a favorable mood, because Kamsa was also face to face with Krishna. But even though he had some level of perfection, we don't accept it as being the perfect consciousness of the Absolute Truth, but rather some inferior perception of the Absolute Truth. So being with the Absolute Truth, face to face, with a favorable mood, this is very rare to obtain. And Krishna said to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that form that you are seeing with your own eyes is very rare to perceive. Indeed, even the demigods, they are willing to attain such a vision. No, Krishna is saying this. So this is extremely rare. Kaliya is very fortunate. And when reading this, we should naturally feel, oh, Kaliya is so fortunate. How could I become also fortunate like this? This is the feeling that should appear in our heart. I am also like Kaliya, born in the mode of ignorance, controlled by anger, full of desire, wandering in the cycle of birth and death. How, why Kaliya received that mercy and not me? No? I also would like to receive such a mercy. So here, in the purport, actually, this is Gopi Paranandana Prabhu writing this purport, and Hridayananda Maharaj working together, and quoting our acharyas. Most of the time they're just quoting our acharyas. So we will say in general the Vaishnavas. So they told us that even though we cannot claim to have the same blessing that Kaliya received, we can obtain the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna through Krishna's representative, who is like non-different from Krishna. So the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's devotee has the same power of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna even says himself in the Bhagavatam that actually everybody is saying that my lotus feet have great power, but I consider that if I have such any power I may have or any quality I may have, it is coming because I am worshipping the lotus feet of my devotees. From that I am receiving whatever power people may say I have. This is Krishna's reflection. Because I constantly worship the lotus feet of my devotees, I think this is how I may attain some power. Because people say I have some power. Krishna doesn't believe so much that he has some power. Krishna is very humble. But he says, it is like this. Very beautiful verse, no? Krishna likes to reverse everything upside down. That's the mood of Krishna. He likes to reverse everything and put himself on the lowest position and bring all others on the higher position than himself. This is Krishna. Very beautiful heart. Even though he is the supreme perfection, in all regards, no? In the level of beauty, strength, fame, no? knowledge, renunciation, and wealth. He is placing himself like he had nothing of all this, and considering everybody else is better than him. This is Krishna. Krishna never thinks he's better than someone else, because he is freed of any kind of ego. Abhimana shunya nitai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Abhimana shunya nitai nakrodi vidai. He can never become angry in Nityananda, because he has no abhiman. Abhiman means the feeling that I am great. Krishna has not this feeling. This feeling cannot exist in Krishna's heart. Even though sometimes it may seem that he is a little bit puffed up, no, Krishna? Sometimes he is acting like if he has some high esteem of himself. But this is a game. Like sometimes among ourselves we also joke and we're playing like if we have high esteem of him, ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes we, and Krishna also like this, but he is not speaking seriously when he is like this. Like, forever when he quarrels, you know, with Radhani and the gopis, he told them, you know, I'm the prince of Raj. You're just some simple milkmaid, no? So, better you don't argue so much with me, because you don't know to whom you are speaking. Like this, they like, he likes to argue, but he's not thinking that this is reversed speech. This is a poetic figure, because actually he considers himself lower than the gopis, Krishna. But this is reversed speech, you know. And but they don't believe him. Sometimes they told him, you know, you would go back to your village and play with your friend some board game or something like that. You're not very much qualified to stay in our company. What we are doing here is maybe a little bit too high for you. Maybe you go back to your village with your friend and play the balls. No? That will be better. This is how they dismiss Krishna sometimes. A very sweet words. But, yeah, so Krishna is very humble. The proof is that, you know, when there was the Rajasuya sacrifice, Krishna asked if he could wash the feet of everybody. And Krishna considers himself that if I have any power, this power is coming because I am worshipping the feet of my devotees. Actually, the Shastra says that Krishna is always following behind his pure devotees to gather the dust on the floor from their lotus feet. So this is Krishna's philosophy. Krishna's philosophy is a little bit different than our philosophy. He reverses everything upside down. But he feels unlimited bliss by doing so. This is the highest level of bliss that the Absolute can feel. It's then when he forgets that he is the Absolute. Like I often say, you know, when we were young boys particularly, they like to play like they are superheroes, you know? Because they are so weak. The reality is that they are so weak, you know? If you fight with a small boy, you just take him and you do this and he will fly for a few meters. So because they are so weak, they always like to think that they are superheroes and they have superpowers, no? Isn't it? And we were thinking, yeah, I will throw a fireball like this. Just in our mind, you know? But because actually we were so weak. So this was our game. But Krishna He is unlimitedly powerful. So there is no bliss for him to manifest this power. It's natural. He already has it. Krishna feels bliss by playing that he has no power. Oh, I have no power. Oh, shall I do? This is Krishna's play, no? Oh, my mother is running after me. Oh, come on. I have to run. And he's feeling it like anything. Krishna is feeling like anything, running. That's his play. And, you know, reverse it. He is reversing everything. And this gives him a very, very deep happiness. So Krishna's philosophy and our philosophy, they are opposite, actually. He's seeing the same from that angle. We are also seeing the same from that angle. But actually, we are face to face somehow or other. This is the eternal game between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna likes to place himself, you know, below his devotees, and the devotees, they're also trying to reverse the situation or put it back upside up, if we can say this, and put themselves below Krishna. But Krishna is very good, and he can always find a way to glorify his devotees more than they are able to glorify him. So that's Krishna's eternal game. And he says that from doing that, he's receiving all his power. Once Madhurya Yashoda, she said to Krishna, you know, why are you going to the forest like this every day? Because it's very hard for Yashoda that Krishna is living entire day to the forest. They have to live in separation from morning to late afternoon. Like 6 o'clock, only Krishna will come back. And Krishna lives in the morning, like around 8:30. So that many hours, very difficult for the Vrajavasi to support. Krishna is away for so many hours during the day. So she is always trying, every day she is trying to invent some new reason for which Krishna should not go today to the forest and should rather stay in underground. Sometimes she managed to do it, but it's quite rare. But one day she said, well, you should not go to the forest, you know, it's too dangerous. You know, there are some thorns and people that will hurt your feet. And Krishna replied, but most of everybody knows there is no thorns and people in the forest of Vrindavan. Or if they are soft. No, this is Vraj. There is no thorn and people in Vraj. This is just a feeling Madhurya Yashoda has in her heart. The gopis, they have a similar feeling also. No, they say, oh, we cannot support to think when you walking on the path of the forest, and the thorn and people, they may hurt your lotus feet. No, this is too hard for us to think about that. But actually, there is no thorn and people in Vraj. But if they are soft, and they are also serving Krishna's lotus feet by being soft people, for example. So he said, no, Mother, you know, there is no thorn people in this forest. Why are you saying this? So she understood. Her argument was not strong enough. Then she said, but what about if there are some demons? You know, sometimes there are some demons in Vraja's forest. That you cannot say that there are not. We have the proof many times there are some demons. What if there are some demons? It's too dangerous for you. And Krishna said, Mother, just by taking the dust from your lotus feet, I am protected from any demon in the universe. Nobody can do me anything. This is Krishna's feeling toward Madhurya Yashoda. You know? So when Krishna wakes up in the morning, he is paying obeisances to his mother, touching her feet, touching the feet of his father. This is where the Indian tradition comes, that, you know, the son has to offer obeisances to his mother and father, touch their feet, because Krishna is doing so. And this is why it is also requested from us that we learn to behave like this. We have to learn to behave like Krishna, because the more we can imbibe that mood and that behavior of Krishna, the closer we will become to him. Is it like this, we say? Closer to him? This is the process of the Bhagavatam. So the more we read about Krishna, we understand how Krishna is. If you want to become the friend of somebody, you have to understand this person, no? And you have to dovetail yourself with the likes and dislikes of that person, no? Then, naturally, that person will feel, even without yourself asking, will desire to become your friend. So this is the process of bhakti also. If we want to become closer and closer to Krishna, we have to find what Krishna likes and what he doesn't like. And we have to embrace in our life everything that Krishna likes, which is called accepting everything which is favorable to devotion and service. And we have to keep some distance from the things that Krishna doesn't like, which is called rejecting everything which is unfavorable to pure devotion and service. These are two important limbs of what we call surrender to Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna, sharanam, means placing ourselves under the consideration of what Krishna likes and what he doesn't like. This is surrendering. Whatever Krishna likes, I will also like. Whatever he doesn't like, I will keep some distance from that. This is practical surrender. And by doing so, gradually, we become similar to Krishna. And Krishna will become attracted by us. So, Krishna is considering there is so much power in the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. And Krishna is always trying to worship his devotees. No? Such a wonderful Lord. How could we imagine this? No? How Krishna is. And here, so the purpose explained that actually, even though for us it may be difficult to receive the benediction that Krishna will dance on our head, still we can collect the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. Shiguru Charanam Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Sadma means the abode, the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas who have captured Krishna within their heart. Guru means who has captured Krishna within his heart. Krishna cannot live anymore. Like Bilva Mangal Thakur. You know Bilva Mangal Thakur? He was a blind. And Krishna came and he took his hand. And you say, where are you going, Baba? And Bilva Mangal said, I'm going to Vrindavan. And Krishna told him, he could not see that this was Krishna because he was blind. And Krishna told him, how will you go to Vrindavan? You are blind. This is so far, no? It's coming from South India. How will you go there? He said, I will manage. And Krishna told him, by the way, I am going also there. You want to come with me? I can give you my hand and I will bring you. This is how we do for blind people, no? You take their hand and then you lead them. So Krishna did that. He took the hand of Bilva Mangal and Bilva Mangal was following Krishna. Not really knowing that this was Krishna, but in his heart. He could understand that this was very special person whose hand he was following. And at some point, Krishna, in order to play with Bhiva Mangal, he just, let go his hand. And he went some distance. And Bhiva Mangal was there. Oh, what happened? Why did you leave? And then he said to Krishna, okay, you may, let go. You may escape from my hand, but let's see if you are able to escape from my heart. He told him that. Let's see if you will be able to escape from my heart. And that Krishna could not. Because the pure devotees, they can catch Krishna in their heart. How they capture Krishna within their heart. So they capture Krishna within their heart by, you know, if you want to capture some body, you have to understand what will attract this person. No? What will attract this person? And then you place that what will attract this person in some kind of trap. This is how they do, no? For catching elephant, Prabhupada explains in the purport of Bhagavatam, the technique for catching an elephant is they would make a big hole and they would cover that hole with foliage, trees and branches and leaves that you cannot see. And then on the other side, they would bring a she-elephant. And then the elephant would become attracted by the she-elephant and come and fall in the hole. So simple to catch an elephant. You just have to make a big hole and to have a she-elephant. Then you will catch it. And some is by doing the sound, you know? Reproducing the sound. All different techniques like this, Prabhupada explained. So, if we want to capture Krishna in our heart, we have to understand what's attracting Krishna. And the scriptures explain, and the Vaishnava explains, as Krishna is attracted by devotion. No? Krishna is attracted by devotion. Why? Why Krishna is attracted by devotion? We call bhakti, no? Krishna is attracted by bhakti. Because bhakti actually is Radha. So Krishna is attracted by Radharani. She is the embodiment of all what is attractive for Krishna. And Krishna cannot but be attracted by Radharani. So actually, by keeping Radharani in their heart, the Vaishnavas, they capture Krishna within their heart. This is how Krishna becomes captured. And once somebody has captured Krishna in his heart, then the dust of the lotus feet of that person, they become Kevala Bhakati Sadma. They become the abode of pure devotion. Then we have to worship such a person, Sri Guru Charana. But not the lotus feet. That person's feet becomes also lotus feet by capturing Krishna in their heart. No? This is what we call Vaishnava. He is carrying Krishna in his heart. Svanta stena kadabritya. Just by carrying the Krishna in his heart, a pure devotee becomes himself somehow or other non-different from Krishna. he becomes also himself a deity, because deity is inside his heart. No? Like we're worshipping the temple because the deity is inside the temple. You see in India, when the people come to the temple, they bow down to the stairs in front of the temple. No? They touch the different steps. And they touch their head, because they understand this is the temple of Krishna. So it is as worshipable as Krishna. No? In the same way, we worship the devotee of Krishna because Krishna is in his heart. So because Krishna is inside his heart, we're worshipping the devotee of Krishna. And Krishna himself actually is worshipping his devotee. So we can derive very, very great spiritual power by worshipping those lotus feet that Krishna himself is worshipping. This is very high worship. Like Lord Shiva said to his wife, no? He said, higher than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of what Lord Vishnu himself worships. Means we call Tadiya. Tadiya means what Krishna himself worships, of what Krishna considers dear to himself. Tadiya. Or we say, what is belonging to Krishna. Krishna considers, this is mine. If you worship that, this is considered even higher than worshipping Krishna. Because Krishna also worshipping this person. Tadiya can only be a person, because everything is personal in the spiritual world. So Tadiya means the Dham of Krishna, the abode of Krishna. It means the devotees of Krishna. It means everything which is connected with Krishna and so dear to Krishna. So Lord Shiva told to Parvati, this is the highest form of worship. Therefore, we chant every morning, Shri Guru Sharana Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sanma, Vandu Muni Savadana Mati. Yahara Prasadevai Bhava Toriyayai Krishna Prapti Oyo Yana Oite. By the mercy of such a person, you will attain Krishna. Very powerful to understand this Guru Tattva, the principle of the pure devotee. And the more we will develop a love and devotion for the pure devotee of Krishna, the more we will attract the attention of Krishna. That's very powerful, how to say, attractiveness. I don't know how to make my sentence. This is a very powerful way to attract Krishna by worshipping his devotees. That will touch his heart. Krishna cannot escape from that. If you're worshipping his devotees, or Krishna will be very much appreciative, and he will be attracted, because himself is also worshipping his devotees. As we were saying the other day, these persons are dearer to him than his own life. So when we worship them, Krishna's heart melts, and then he becomes easily attained. This is why we say, Guru Charane Rati Eise Utamagati. This is the fastest way to attain perfection. Fastest way to attain perfection is to develop attachment for the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. The more we can love the pure devotees of Krishna, like Prabhupada or our acharyas, the more we will give them place in our heart and in our life, faster we will progress in spiritual life. Uttamagati. Uttamagati means there is no other better way. Gati means it is a way. And Uttama, this is the topmost way. So those who are intelligent, they take the direct and fast path going toward Krishna. And this is developing attachment for the Vaishnavas. We have to develop very deep attachment for the Vaishnavas. And then everything comes. Everything will be revealed. Chakshudan Diloye. We will receive divine vision. Divya Gyan Ride Prakashita. Transcendental knowledge will be revealed in our heart. No? Prema Bhakti Jaoite. We will receive explanation of what is pure devotion, pure love. The Vaishnava will explain to us. Jivuru Karuna Sindhu. Ocean of mercy will come to us. Adama Janara Bandhu. Even though we may be Adama, very foreign, they are embodying the unlimited mercy of Krishna. So everything comes from developing attachment to the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. Shiguru Sharane Rati. This word Rati means deep attachment. Not, oh, I like Prabhupada, he is nice. Very deep attachment means very deep feeling of gratefulness and reciprocation. Love means it is an exchange, or we say a heart transaction. We receive, when you receive real love, there is only one way to respond to that, is to love back. And love means to give. Love means to serve. Prabhupada has given us so much. In eternity, we cannot never repay him. No? Krishna said in the 10th canto, actually, nobody can repay the spiritual master. There is no way. He said that to Sandipani Muni. No? There is absolutely no way that one can repay the spiritual master, because he is giving you the topmost treasure, the much less gift. No? So it's impossible to repay him. The only way, Krishna says, one can repay that debt is by giving his life to the spiritual master. That's the loving reciprocation. And it's actually, it doesn't make the balance. Because our life is like quite miserable. But at least this is everything that we can give. So when somebody gives his life back to the Vaishnavas for what he has received from them, this is called Rati. Then deep attachment will manifest. You know? When you give everything to somebody, then you become attached to that. Deep attachment. This is Shiguru Charani Rati. We have to develop such a deep attachment. And by doing this, everything will come. Everything will be revealed in the heart. So, thus it is written here, we can receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Absolute through the Lord representative, the bona fide spiritual master, and thus go back home, back to Godhead, forever freed from the misery and ignorance of the mundane universe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much. Please forgive me for speaking long time. If somebody has some question, they can ask, but it's not obliged. Sometimes we don't have questions. No? And this is good. That means either we have understood everything or we have not understood nothing. Okay, thank you very much, dear devotees. Please bless me that I can develop some attachment for the lotus feet of Prabhupada and our acharyas. And like this, I received their association in my life. Vaishnavas, they never die. And we have to be faithful that if we develop attachment for them, they will appear in our heart. This is how it happens. Prabhupada can appear in our heart at any moment, any day of our life, if we develop that deep attachment for him. Actually, he will definitely appear in our heart when we will have developed deep enough attachment. And if it's not happening yet, that means we have to dig a little bit more, to go a little bit deeper. And then Prabhupada will receive.